This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Hey, Ram truck lovers, this is Justin Peoples with Wright Automotive. We will beat any other dealer's deal on a new Ram truck. Wright Automotive is your new Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram truck headquarters. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Here's another pick of the week from Wright Automotive. The Ford Focus gets over 44 miles per gallon. The new Ford Fiesta checks in at 48 miles per gallon. For information on these and other new vehicles, go to WrightAutomotive.com. The right vehicle for the right price from the right family. Hillsboro or WrightAutomotive.com.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
10 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning, the DTN General opening call. Later today, expect corn to open steady to about a penny higher, beans 2 to 3 cents lower, and wheat steady to a penny higher. The overnight crude oil market, $1.57 lower at $101.74. Brent crude, $1.26 lower at $122.17. The June gold contract, $11 higher at $1,641.10. The U.S. dollar index, 0.042 higher at 79.928. On the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday, the last day of trading, May wheat, 638 and a half. July wheat, 646 and a quarter. September wheat closed at 659 and a quarter. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday closed at 658 and a quarter. For July, 652 and a quarter. For September, 569 and a quarter. May beans on the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday closed at 1434. For July, 1437 and three quarter. For August, 1429 and a quarter. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday closed at 391.90 for July, $393.70, and for August, $390. May soybean oil closed at $56.64 for July, $57.03 for August, $57.22. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade Thursday closed at $337 for July, $335.50. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain recap.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Thursday afternoon, with soybeans and corn higher and wheat lower. Both corn and soybean futures were given a boost from higher-than-expected weekly export sales figures, with both above 1 million metric tons. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at 651 to 666, and soybean bids were up 14 to 15 cents at 1411 to 1423. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained a penny, ranging from 654 to 678. Soybeans advanced 15 cents, ranging from 1419 to 1453, and soft red winter wheat ended mixed at 617 to 639. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher, ranging from 654 to 666. Soybeans were up 14 to 15 cents at 14.20 to 14.23, and the wheat closed mixed at 6.27 to 6.37. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 3 cents stronger at 6.65 to 6.70. Soybeans gained 14 to 17 cents at 14.38 to 14.42. And new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery steady to 6 cents lower at 6.30 to 6.38. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 cents higher at 6.81 to 6.82. These same elevators boosted their soybean prices by 13 to 15 cents, with quotations at 14.55 to 14.57. Soft red winter wheat lost a penny, down to 6.57 to 6.58, but Milo ended 2 cents higher at 6.38 to 6.39. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April hogs closed at 84.50, for May 94.22, and for June 93.52. April live cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Thursday closed at 118.32, for June 115.82, for August 118.47. April feeders on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Thursday closed at 148.72. For May, 148.32. For August, 150.95. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Thursday, April 5th, for the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, Barrels and Gilts closed unchanged with a carcass-based price range of 71 to 83.5 and a weighted average of 77.76. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 13,200. Illinois Direct Brown Gilt trade steady, 53 to 56, and Illinois Direct Slaughter Sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 47 to 51. 450 to 550 pounds, 48 to 53. Over 550 pounds, 51 to 54. Today's estimated receipt, 625. Wednesday's actuals, 1,025. Pork carcass cutout, 78.15, and that is down 42 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 415,000. Last week, 413,000. A year ago, 415,000. Week to date of 1,667,000. Cattle today, 124,000. Last week, 116,000. A year ago, 129,000. Week to date, 498,000. Box beef cutout values were sharply lower on moderate demand and heavy offerings. Total movement today, 206 fabulos of 76 trim choice at 178.51. That is down $2.13. Select 176.66, and that is down $1.71. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, 552 heads sold on Wednesday compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers sold 3 to 3.5 lower. Holstein steers 3 lower. Slaughter cows 1 to 2 lower. Slaughter bulls $2 lower, and feeder cattle mostly 3 to 4 lower. Slaughter steers, choice twos to threes, a few at 123 to 125. Select and choice twos and threes, 117.5 to 122.5. Holstein steers, choice twos to threes, 113 to 118. With select and choice twos and threes, 105.5 to 112.5. Slaughter heifers, choice twos to threes, 122 to 123.5. Select and choice twos and threes, 117 to 122.5. Slaughter cows, breaking type, a few at 95 to 95.5, boning type cows, 79 to 85.5, lean cows, 70 to 78, with slaughter bulls, your grade ones, at 91.5 to 98. Return to farm calves, Holstein males weighing 70 pounds, sold from $60 to $100 a head, 80 to 90 pounds at $120 to $225 a head. Feeder steers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 350 to 400 pounds, a few at 180 to 181, package averaging 488 pounds at 175, and a package averaging 567 pounds at 160. Holstein steers, large frame number threes, weighing 300 to 400 pounds, traded from 129 to 137, which were value added, 400 to 425 pounds at 120 to 126, value added, and a package averaging 486 pounds at 131. Heifers, medium and large frame number ones, weighing 300 to 400 pounds, a few at 168 to 174, 400 to 425 pounds, a few at 150 to 156. Medium and large ones and twos, the package averaging 875 pounds at 116. Young, medium and large frame bred cows in their second stage traded $1,125 to $1,225 a head, with young, medium and large frame third stage cows at $1,220 to $1,275. Middle-aged, medium-frame, second-stage cows at $1,080 to $1,100 a head, and middle-aged, medium-frame, third-stage cows from $910 to $1,260 a head. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Thursday, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.50, for May $15.31, for June $15.35. Also on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April butter closed at $1.42, for May $1.42¾, for June $1.46. Non-fat dry milk for April on Thursday closed at $1.27¾, for May $1.25. And for June, $1.26. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Thursday: butter $1.43, for block cheese $1.48¾, for cheddar cheese $1.46. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. It's coming up on 20 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois today, sunny skies, windy, the high about 70, northwest winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny and cooler, high temperatures in the upper 50s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, clear and cooler with patchy frost possible Wednesday and Thursday mornings. Cloudy with a chance of showers Thursday night and Friday. Low temperatures in the mid-30s, rising to the mid-40s. High temperatures in the low to the middle 60s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have west winds at 6 miles per hour. The barometric pressure steady. Mostly clear skies, a temperature of 50 degrees. WSMI weather watcher, the Lang family of Caulfield, over the weekend, a trace of precipitation. And once again, 50 degrees at the Weather Center. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield, and by the Litchfield National Bank. In our farm news today, Heather Hampton Nodal is the secretary of the Illinois Agri Women. She spoke recently at the Illinois Ag Legislative Day in Springfield, and she also talked to Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. Montgomery County's Heather Hampton Nodal is the secretary for the Illinois Agri Women. She spoke at the Illinois Capitol last week at Ag Legislative Day on behalf of the group, and she spoke about some of their priorities.
The number one issue in the state is budget. And if people aren't getting that, in my mind, there's only one thing to talk about, and it is the budget. However, we continue to see a huge onslaught of bills trying to limit how we can do what we do. So, for example, there's a tail docking bill that agri-women are speaking out against, saying you have to understand this from a production perspective and even from the animal's health perspective. There are reasons why this is done. So we're just trying to be a voice of reason on that issue. There are issues related to private property. When we look at fracking, the geologic fracturing for natural gas extrusion. A lot of issues now and bills proposed to try to strip mineral rights from property owners essentially and just allow things to take place underground that we at this point really have very little information about from a property owner standpoint. But one of our key issues that ties back into budget is from a Department of Agriculture standpoint, especially over the last 8 years, we have seen so much of its budget capacity specifically for regulatory enforcement and things like invasive species, invasive pest management, meat inspection. These are real functions that protect the citizens of Illinois and their public safety, and that agency cannot afford to be stripped of any more money. So we really have to bring that message loud and clear and say if we're serious about protecting the environment, we need to fund our soil and water conservation districts because that's where the real work gets done. It doesn't get done talking in a boardroom or rolling out a new program with pretty posters. It gets done through conservation practices on the land. So we're just trying to be a voice of reason, we would hope, and common sense.
And do you find year after year when you do go in and talk to legislators that all it does take is a little education, a little one-on-one?
I think with many of them, yes. But what I've learned, and this is, I think, my 16th or 17th agriculture legislative day, I think what I've also learned over time, though, is that a lot of things are politicized, even subtle things. And it's interesting to watch people who are here their first, second, even third, fourth, and fifth times, because they'll come and say, man, I think I had a really good meeting, and that was a great conversation. What that means is you usually did most of the talking. What you need to do is let that representative speak about an issue that is germane to the conversation, not the weather, and figure out exactly where do they stand, and then listen and learn more about who they associate with and where their true loyalties are, and those are the things that ultimately impact where things come out. Unfortunately, it's not always common sense that gets things done. It is whatever relationships or commitments they've made prior to you sitting there with them. But yes, I do believe we still can influence that and have an impact on that.
Heather Hampton Nodal with the Illinois Agri Women. I'm Rita Frazier reporting for WSMI.
Right now, we'll update the hog markets. We join University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
Fairly good week for the hog markets. Futures gained ground at $1 to $2 higher in response to USDA's March hog and pig report. To recap, that report said that market hog inventory was up 2% from a year ago, breeding herd numbers up 0.6%. Both of those just a fraction higher than the trade was expecting. But the good news in the report, USDA forecast that spring farrowings would be down 0.9% compared to last year, and summer farrowings down 1.6%. Those were bigger drops than the trade was expecting, so that led to some positive action in the futures. Cash hog prices this week are direct delivered to the plants on a carcass weight basis, steady to instances a dollar higher, right around $80 per hundred weight of carcass. Terminal market prices on a live weight basis, steady to a dollar lower, with most of the trading in the mid-50s. Weights continue to be heavy. Iowa, Minnesota live weights last week averaged 277.3 pounds, up 0.6 pounds from the week before, up 3.6 pounds compared to the same week a year ago. That was the 20th consecutive week with weights above year-ago levels. And a lot of that's due to the mild winter weather. Pigs have just been growing well on farms. Slaughter for this week looks like it's going to come in close to last week's pace, but up a couple, 2 to 3% from the same week a year ago.
That was University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain. A New York federal judge has ordered the Food and Drug Administration to complete a regulatory course of action it set in motion 35 years ago to discontinue the use of penicillin and tetracycline in livestock feed. The FDA says it is studying the judge's opinion and considering appropriate steps. Ironically, the ruling comes as the agency prepares to implement industry-supported steps to curb antibiotic use in food-producing animals. Ron Phillips is with the Animal Health Institute.
The FDA has for 2 years been working on a process, a collaborative process with stakeholders to eliminate subtherapeutic use of medically important antibiotics and increase veterinary oversight. And what this does is basically distracts FDA from that process.
Back in 1977, the FDA notified the public of its intent to hold hearings on proposals to ban penicillin and tetracycline as growth promoters in cattle, hogs, and chickens. No hearings were ever held, and the agency took no action until last December when it withdrew the original notice. food safety and consumer activists filed suit to force FDA to hold the hearings. Phillips says the litigation is actually delaying FDA's comprehensive approach to preserving medically important antimicrobials.
Not only are they delaying FDA's effort, but FDA's effort is broader. It would apply to all medically important classes, not just to these two.
The Natural Resources Defense Council, the lead plaintiff in the case, says it does not trust the animal drug industry to police itself. The mild winter and above normal temperatures might impact weed management in 2012. Todd Gleason has more from the University of Illinois.
The mild winter has resulted in an abundance of winter annual weed vegetation growing in fields across the Midwest. Survivorship of the winter months of weeds that emerged last fall was undoubtedly higher than usual, too, says Aaron Hager. The University of Illinois weed scientist also points out that the recent stretch of warm air temperatures has prompted these weeds to resume growth several weeks ahead of schedule, and that it means farmers should move now to control them.
Usually it's this time of year when conditions are really not that good for good burndown activity, many of the herbicides that farmers use. However, given these warm conditions that we're having right now, coupled with the fact that the populations of winter annuals are actually very robust around many areas of the state, probably is going to be one of those rare exceptions where going earlier with the burndown application is going to yield some better results and outcomes than if we wait around for another 2 to 3 weeks before we begin the burn down treatments.
Ideally, weed management plans should control existing vegetation before viable seeds are produced. Under current conditions, seed production is likely to occur sooner than normal. One weed of real concern this spring is mare's tail, sometimes called horseweed.
And the concern, it really stems around the fact that in the fall of 2011, we saw more mature mare's tail in soybean fields across a very large part of central Illinois than we really ever have before. So with good emergence last fall, probably some very high survivorship over the wintertime, this is really the species that should be a very primary focus for a lot of the burndown applications, given the fact that we do have glyphosate-resistant populations in the state, and it's always easier to try to get good control of mare's tail before it exceeds about 6 inches in height.
Glyphosate-resistant populations of mare's tail, a horseweed, are common in southern Illinois and are becoming increasingly common across central Illinois, says Hager. Burndown of glyphosate-resistant horseweed requires alternative herbicides or tank mixing other herbicides with glyphosate.
Products, for example, that contain the active ingredient safeflufenacil, which are the Sharpen-type herbicides, Sharpen Optil, for example, or Verdict, any of those products are fairly effective burndown materials for mare's tail. This early in the season, we can also perhaps even consider higher rates of something like 2,4-D. We have waiting intervals on the label of 2,4-D, but assuming we're probably not going to be planting a whole lot of soybean in the state by the middle part of April, we can probably even look at the quart rate of 2,4-D to use in burndown scenarios about here in the mid part of March.
Complete details of Hager's very early season burndown recommendations are in the latest online edition of the Illinois Crops Bulletin. Just search Google for University of Illinois Bulletin. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Some other ag news notes on this Monday morning. Fruit trees have exploded with early vibrant blossoms across the Midwest, but to fruit farmers, these early blossoms inspire more distress than delight. If the flowers are hit by a frost and die, the tree's fruit crops will die with them. It only takes one night in the low 20s to devastate the crop, according to Mick Klug, who supplies peaches, cherries, apples, and pears, and more to Chicago restaurants and farmers markets. Klug's family grows about 3,000 fruit trees in St. Joseph, Michigan. On the AM Live program later this morning, our guest is Tricia Braid of the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. The AM Live program this morning at 9:05 on WSMI AM 1540. And we'll update the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Once again, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open steady to a penny higher, beans 2 to 3 cents lower, and wheat steady to a penny higher. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by the Litchfield National Bank.